Today's shiur is Masechta Baba Batra Daf Kuf Yud. We will begin on Daf Kuf Yud Amud Aleph at the fourth line. Our Gemara continues discussing Shiduchim and also discussing the story of Yonason who worked at the base of Avodah Zarah. Amar Rava, says the Gemara, Noisi Isha, if somebody marries a woman, Tzorach Shivdik Bachel, he has to investigate who her brothers are. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Vikach Arnes es Elisheva bas Aminadov Achois Nashen. He took as a wife Elisheva, who's Aminadov's daughter, Nachshon's sister. Says the Gemara, Masha Shenemar bas Aminadov, any Yideish Achois Nachshon he. If the Torah says to us that she's Aminadov's daughter, she's obviously Nachshon's sister, as the Mashal explains. The Torah many times will mention somebody's siblings in terms of identifying who the individual is. In those cases, the Torah will not mention who the parents are. If here the Torah already mentioned who her father is, there is no need for us to say who her brother was. So why does the Torah also mention that she was Nachshon's sister? We can't to teach us, you have to check who the brothers are. Tana, Roiv Bonim Daim Lachayim. Because most children are similar to the mother's brothers. As the Me'iri frames the Gemara. The Me'iri says when a person gets married, he's supposed to get married. The purpose of a Jewish marriage is to create Dairis, to create future generations of Klal Yisrael. So the most important element in a Jewish marriage is who the children are. How do we know how the children will be? By looking at the siblings of the mother of the Kala. And as Rabbi Yonasan Eibshin says, and I saw others say the same, Agamar doesn't mean specifically looking at the brothers. The brothers will only help us know how the sons of this marriage will look. We also know how, we need to know how the daughters of this marriage look. And we have to also look at the sisters. We also have to look at the sisters of the Kala, or the proposed Kala. The Mefarsh, the Satmar Rebbe, actually was asked many questions I saw regarding this Gemara. People asked him advice. He said a number of interesting things. One thing he said, I saw, is that certainly investigating who the girl's parents are and seeing that she comes from fine parents is more important than looking at the siblings. And therefore, if we have a girl who comes from a good family, it's more important, good parents, it's more important than the siblings. Moreover, he says, interesting that he says this, he feels that the Gemara is really referring more to the time where people got married very young. And it was very hard to know who this Kala is when she's getting married so young. However, nowadays when people get engaged and married later, and we already could identify what this Kala is all about, the need to check the brothers and siblings is less important. Furthermore, I saw he says that I saw the Belzer Rebbe said it the same, that the question came up, particularly after the war, where a lot of people needed to get married, and there was Klal Yisrael was decimated, and people came with the question that there was Shidduchim being mentioned, but the families weren't maybe the families that they normally would have wanted to do a Shidduch with. So he said as follows, the Gemara in many places speaks about a Ruach Mitzuya and a Ruach Shen Mitzuya. And the Gemara speaks about a Ruach, about a wind, the Gemara is referring to a situation, a normal, regular type of situation. The Gemara doesn't speak about a Ruach Shen Mitzuya because that's an extraordinary situation. So he said the same after a war, when the entire world was in turmoil and upheaval, that isn't the regular situation, that's a situation of Ruach Shein Mitzuya, which our Gemara is not referring to. I also saw that the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh asks, if it's so important to identify who the brother of the Kala is, so how did Yitzchak marry Rivka? Rivka's brother was Lavan. So Aruch Chaim HaKadosh answers, that at that time it wasn't yet known what loving was all about. Other Mefarshim answer that if somebody knows, like Yitzchak, Avraham Avinu, Eliezer, know that this is a shidduch, min hashamayim, that this is the person zivig, then the fact that the brothers aren't the way it's supposed to be should not deter the shidduch from happening. Yitzchak, Avraham, Eliezer certainly knew, and that's why they weren't concerned with Lavan being Rivka's brother. I saw a very interesting question that was posed to the stipler. Before we go further, there's an interesting chidah. The chidah says, Eishes Chayil Miyimtza, we all know that pasuk, stands for Achim. The first letters of Eishes Chayil Miyimtza are Achim, because it's our Gemara saying you have to look who the brothers are. I saw a very interesting question that was posed to the stipler, where someone got engaged to a woman, and then afterwards he found out that this woman's brother was not the way it's supposed to be. And he asked the stipler, should he break the engagement? And if the stipler says that he shouldn't break the engagement, he asked the stipler, should he notify his parents, who obviously were also not aware of the situation. So the stipler very interestingly says that there are many reasons not to break the shidduch. Firstly, he says that this halacha of Hanois Ish Yitzchak Shivdik Bachel is not quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. So it's not clear that this is the halacha. The Chachmas Adam does quote it, Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote it. Number two, he says, when Al Gemara says you look at the brothers, you don't only look at one brother. If there are a number of brothers, and one brother maybe isn't the way it's supposed to be, but the other brothers are fine, so you look at the other brothers. Why look at this one brother? Moreover, the stipler says that, as the Chazanish, the famous Chazanish, that many people who are irreligious today are in the category of a Tinuk Shenishba. Here too, this brother who maybe isn't acting appropriately is in the category of a Tinuk Shenishba. A Tinuk Shenishba is not considered necessarily a problem. Especially, the stipler goes on to say, that we live in a very difficult time with a lot of adverse influences on people, and those influences maybe created a situation that the brother isn't acting as he should be, but you can't necessarily fault him. Moreover, says the stipler, it's a terrible thing to do to this girl, she's engaged, and to break the shidduch because of it. And the stipler goes on to say, who says that you'll get engaged that quickly if you break a shidduch? And therefore the stipler says you should get married and you'll have fine children. And he also says don't tell your parents, because there's no purpose in telling the parents if the shidduch should continue anyway. It's interesting that I saw from Rav Shach. Rav Shach says when the Gemara says, Tzarech Shivdik Ba'achel, he says the Gemara doesn't mean that you have to check that the brother is a Talmud Chacham. It doesn't mean that you have to check that the brother is a big Baal Tzedaka. What the Gemara means you have to check is his midas, the way he acts. And if he see that he has proper midas, he's a Baal midas toivis, that's what the Gemara means, v'tzarech shiyivdoik v'achehah. This Gemara is used by the Mefarshim to explain, I saw different psukim in the Torah, Rashi's in the Torah. The pasuk says that when Yitzchak and Rivka sent Yaakov after the episode with the brachas with Esav, the pasuk says, "V'yishlach Yitzchak," they sent Yaakov el Lavan ben Bsuul to Lavan the son of Bsuul Achi Rivka, the brother of Rivka, Avi Yaakov Esav, who Aim Yaakov Esav, who Rivka was the mother of Yaakov Esav. So Rashi says, famous Rashi, Eini Yedeya Mamalam Deinu. I don't know what the Torah is teaching us by saying that Rivka was Yitzchak, was Yaakov and Esav's mother. Obviously, everybody knows she was Yaakov and Esav's mother. What's the Torah teaching us? So one pshat that I saw is from the Chidah. The Chidah says like this. Our Gemara says that you have to check the brother. So, as I said a moment ago, if there are a number of brothers, and most of them are acting as should be, and one isn't, so that's a shidduch, that's fine. But what happens when one brother is good, and one brother isn't good? So Says Rashi, any day mamlam deinu. I don't know what to do when you have a situation when you have one brother like Esav and one brother like Lavan. That's the chidah, like Yaakov. That's the chidah's pshat. So now Yisoscha says a different pshat. He says the Rashi indeed is asking a question. Any day mamlam deinu. But the Bnei Yisoscha suggests an answer. The question was, how could Yitzchak and Rivka suggest that Yaakov Avinu should marry a daughter of Lavan? When our Gemara just teaches us, Tzorach Shivdik Bachel, you have to look at her, at the brothers, and look what's going on. This is Lavan. The answer is, as Rashi tells us elsewhere, when Yaakov married Rachel and Leah, Lavan didn't have any sons. What's the raya? Because why did he send Rachel and Leah to the well with the sheep? If he had sons, he would have sent the sons, not the daughters. He didn't have any sons, he only had daughters. Any day, mamlam deinu, I don't know what to do. How could Yaakov marry Lavan's daughter? Rachel and Leah's siblings, brothers, probably weren't so great. The answer is, she didn't have siblings yet. The same could be said, going mafarshim a step further, the same could be said that the Rashi says that when Yaakov met Rachel, for Yugadla, Rachel tells Yaakov who she is, and Yaakov tells Rachel to tell her father, Kiachi Avihu. So Rashi says, what does it mean, Kiachi Avihu? He wasn't Lavan's brother, he was Lavan's nephew. So famous Rashi says, Ochiv ani b'ramaz. I can match him b'ramaz. So why does he call it Ochi? Should have said, I'm your match. I could take care of myself. Why is he called Ochi? So answer the Mepharshim beautifully. What Yaakov Avinu was saying to Rachel was, I'm Lavan's nephew. I'm his sister's son. And our Gemara says, Roiv Bonim Doimim Lachayim. I have the same characteristics as your father because I am the Och. I am the son of your of Lavan's sibling, of Rivka. And therefore, if Lavan has the characteristic of being a Ramai, you should know I also have the characteristic of being a Ramai. I'm his nephew, and I can take care of myself. There's a lot to say. One more vart. The Cheshev Sefer says a beautiful vart. He says, the Gemara says in many places that what was the characteristic of the Kohanim? Kohanim's Rizamein. Kohanim have this characteristic that they're diligent. Aaron knew that his descendants will be the Kohanim Gedolim. And they need to have this Midah of Zrizus. Who is the paradigm of Zrizus? Nachshon. That Nachshon was the one that jumped into the Yam, the first one. That's why Aaron was anxious to marry the sister of Nachshon, because he wanted to have children who would be Zrizim, because he knows how important it is that Kohanim should be Zrizim. Continue to Gemara. We spoke yesterday about Yonason, the grandson of Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the attendant by Pesel Micha. And the Pasuk teaches us in Shoftim that agents of Shevet Dan came to the Pesel Micha and meet Yonason. They meet him and they say to him, Mi Aviyacha Haloi, who brought you here? Umma Ata Oysa Bezeh, what are you doing here? Umma Lachapa. Amrloi, they said to him, Lav and Moshe Kossus, aren't you a descendant of Moshe Rabbeinu? Diksibei, that the Pasuk says regarding Moshe Rabbeinu, a tikr of Haloim. Lav and Moshe Kossus, aren't you a descendant of Moshe Rabbeinu? Diksibei maze biyotcha. Lav and Moshe Kossus, diksib at the poya moidi modi. And the Farshim explained, why did they have to bring all three of these psukim that refer to Moshe Rabbeinu? They saw a very nice pshat. What were the different great things that Moshe Rabbeinu did on behalf of us? One thing was that he was the one that was by Har Sinai, a tikkur of Haloim, which represents Har Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that took us out of Mitzrayim with the matah that he held, which is represented by Maza B'yotcha. Moshe Rabbeinu was the shliach who brought Torah u'mitzvos to Klal Yisrael. But that's the pasuk v'atam moed amadi. So they're saying, this is your grandfather was such a great person. How could you be be an attendant by Avodah Zarah. Pass the Kohen Avodah Zarah, you should be an attendant by Avodah Zarah. Omlen, so he responded, Kach mekublani beis avi abba. This is what I learned from my grandfather Moshe. The la'olam yask adam atzma l'avodah zarah. A person should be prepared to work for avodah zarah for al yitzdach lebrius, rather than to take tzedakah. V'hu sover, he mistakenly thought l'avodah zarah mamish, that his job, that you should even work for avodah zarah. V'lohi, that's not what the Gemara, that's not what his grandfather meant. Avodah zarah, avodah shezarah loy. What it means is that a person should do something which really isn't befitting to him, but he should do it rather than take tzedakah. It's better to strip nevelus in the street, v'shkol agra, and get paid, and don't say gavra abra, I'm a great individual, v'zilba milsa, and that it's inappropriate that he should take such a job. Here too, there's a lot to say. How did he see it from his grandfather Moshe Rabbeinu? So we quoted in our previous sheet of Medrash, that the Medrash says that when Moshe Rabbeinu met Yisroi, Yisroi made a deal, and he asked that he wants to marry Tzipira. Yisroi made a deal with Moshe Rabbeinu that you should agree, that the firstborn child will be Kohen Avodah Zarah, will be a priest. Moshe Rabbeinu, as I said, was not concerned about entering into such an agreement, because he knew he would be able to influence Yisroi. But he saw that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he needed to, so to speak, agreed to do it. Furthermore, the Farshim say, we see that Moshe Rabbeinu acted this way. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, the great Moshe Rabbeinu, what was? He was a shepherd. How does it come that Moshe Rabbeinu should be a shepherd? Because that's what Moshe Rabbeinu felt, that no matter how great you are, don't rely on tzedakah. Why did he use the words Kach mekublani v'beis avi abba? This is what I have a Kabbalah. So the Sodi Iyin Yaakov says a very interesting pshat. The Iyin Yaakov says that the halacha is that if somebody's a zokim mamri, if somebody says different than the halacha, he's supposed to get killed. But if the zokim mamri says, it's not my own decision, this is what I learned from previous generations, then it's not so bad. Kach mekublani, he said, don't get angry at me. I learned this from my grandfather, and that's why I'm not deserving of getting killed. The Sefer Chassidim, based on this Gemara, says a very interesting thing. It speaks to Magid Shiurim. It speaks to people who give Shiurim. How did Yonason come to make a mistake? He misunderstood what his grandfather said in the Shiur. He said, you should work Avodah Zarah. He meant Avodah Shezarah, but he made a mistake. Says the Sefer Chassidim, what the Gemara is teaching us is how important it is for a Magid Shiur to be clear in explaining what he says, that nobody should walk out with any misunderstanding. The Mefarshim also ask that how does the Gemara say that you should strip nevelus in the street? The halacha is a Jew is not allowed to do business with nevelus, and not allowed to do business with something that's usur. Say to Paiskim, that a Jew is not allowed to be specifically in the business of selling non-kosher meat. But let's say you're in the business of selling kosher meat. And while you sell kosher meat, you're shechting animals. One animal's a nevela, so you don't have to throw that nevela into the garbage. You're allowed to sell it. That's what the Gemara means, that a nevela came to your hands, that you're allowed to sell. There's an interesting, and I'm not saying this laloch lemaisa, I'm just saying what I saw, a fascinating tshuva from the Shalos HaTshuvos Psamim Rosh. He says the following situation. He says there was somebody in a wagon on Friday afternoon, and the wagon wasn't going to reach the destination that they were supposed to make by Shabbos. And if he will leave the wagon and have to get a new wagon Matzoy Shabbos, he was a very poor person, and he would need to collect tzedakah to be able to go in the wagon Matzoy Shabbos. Says the Psalm Reish, since traveling on a wagon on Shabbos is only an Issa D'Rabbanan, it's only a Shvus, and our Gemara is so serious, takes so seriously the issue of not relying on tzedakah, maybe, and again, I don't say this laloch lemaisa, it's better to violate an Issa D'Rabbanan than to collect tzedakah. Big chiddush. The Mefarshim explained that we know that when Klal Yisrael was told that that they will be able to have the opportunity to leave Mitzrayim. V'leishamu al Moshe ma'avoy d'kasha. So I saw a beautiful pshat in the Mepharshim. Klal Yisrael knew that when they're going to leave Mitzrayim, they're going to go to the Midbar, from what are they going to live? They're going to live from tzedakah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as they actually did, the man and the bear. So Klal Yisrael said, we'd rather do avoid the kasha, we'd rather do hard work in Mitzrayim than live in the Midbar on tzedakah. The Tzfas Emes says a very interesting pshat. It's very much along his style. The Gemara says, pshoit nevolta b'shuka v'atetztarach l'briyis. The Gemara is teaching us, he says, a tremendous lesson. The job of a Jew, says the Sfas Emes, is to bring Kedusha into everything that we do. So certainly when somebody's learning Torah, when he's davening, when he's doing mitzvahs, he's bringing Kedusha into the world. But our Gemara is teaching us is that you could do Pshoit Nevelta B'Shukah. You could do the most menial job, stripping Nevelis in the street. But if you do it, L'Shem Shemayim, you bring Kedusha to the world. This, the Gemara, is the basis for a very famous Machloikus Rishonim. The Rambam's opinion is that somebody who's learning Torah should still not get supported from the community. He should get a job rather than live off the community al tetzdaruch lebriyus. The Beis Yosef, the Tashbats, disagree with the Rambam, and their opinion is, the Tashbat says, not everybody can be the Rambam. Not everybody can be a doctor and still be the great Rambam. And they feel that somebody who's learning may get supported from the community. However, there are a number of situations that the Pesukim can clearly discuss where a person could get supported from the community. One, the Ramah says, the Rambam is referring to a situation where the person is not getting a steady salary. So a person should live from handouts. That's inappropriate. But in a situation where a person is getting a steady salary, that's not what the Rambam means. That's mutter. Other Paiskim suggest, when there's a question of Kavod HaTorah, that if this Talmud Chacham is going to have to take a position which will be demeaning to him and demeaning to his learning, certainly that's not what the Rambam is speaking about. Along the same lines, I saw that the Paiskim say that a Dayan, somebody who's a Dayan in a Bezdin, should be very careful what job he takes. Because if he's in a position, he's in a profession that isn't 100% honest, as certain professions are, and then afterwards he's going to be a dying in Torah, and people are going to say to him, this person who does this inappropriate profession, now he's going to be a dying. So specifically when it comes to a dying, he has to be very careful what job he takes, and if he can't find a job that will not cause, chas v'shalom, people to question his ability to be an honest dayan, he shouldn't take such a job. The Bi'alocha, the Marshal, Ramosha, all discuss the following. They say that the Rambam is referring to a situation where it was possible for a person to sit and learn and also work and still become a great Talmud Chacham and a great Rav. But in a time where it's impossible to do both, people don't have the ability to put in a full day's work and still also put in enough hours to be Talmid Chachamim. And Rav Moshe says that he doesn't believe that there's anybody in our generation who's able to do both successfully, simultaneously. Certainly such a person should sit and learn, and it's the community's responsibility to support him. Continues the Gemara. Kivin Shiroa David. Once David HaMelech saw regarding this Yoinasin, that he's an individual that likes money so much. Because as the Mepharshim explained, he really wasn't a person, and I'll explain this more in a moment, that believed in the Avodah Zarah. He only did it because he should have a good income. Others explain that, as we said earlier, when Shevet Dan came to Pesel Micha, he was agreeable to go along with them. Why was he agreeable to go along with them? Because they were going to pay him more. So we saw that he's an individual that really cares for money. So David HaMelech, Kivin Shiroa David, Shemamamin Chavala B'yaisa, Minu Ala Oitzvus. He appointed him to be in charge of the treasurer. Shenema, Rishua Ben Gershon Ben Menasha, Nogar Ala Oitzvus. So Farshim explained why was he appointed. Two pshatim I saw. One pshat is that who do you appoint to be a treasurer?
somebody who really likes money. He'll take care of the money properly. That's one pshat. Another pshat that I saw is that David HaMelech, he was Yonasan. He was Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson. He wanted to save him. And as I explained a moment ago, what was this person's problem? That he liked money. So David HaMelech says, I'll give you another job, which will be a good job, and you'll be fine. And you don't have to be a galach anymore. You don't have to be a priest anymore. Ask the Gemara, v'chishvur shmoy, v'alo Yonasan shmoy. His name wasn't Shmuel. We keep on saying his name was Yonasan. Amrav Yochanan, sheshov l'keil b'kol ibay. He did tshuva.
But there's a very interesting Yerushalmi that the Rashbam quotes. The Yerushalmi says that even though Al Gemara says that David HaMelech appointed him to be treasurer, and he did tshuva, when David HaMelech died, and Shlomo HaMelech took over, which is as typical, he replaced all of the commissioners. And he, Yonasan Shmuel, lost his job. So what happened? He went back to be a priest by Avodah Zarah, because he was an individual that always needed a good job. But then, the Rashbam and other Rishonim asked the obvious question. I think it's the Yerushalmi's question, essentially. Here we have a person who lived a very long time. He was Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson, and he still was working in the time of Shlomo HaMelech, hundreds of years later. How? Why was he specifically the individual that was zoich, that merited to such a riches yomim? He was a priest. We don't find him being such a great tzaddik. So the Yerushalmi, I think, is bothered with the same question. And what the Yerushalmi says is that even though he was a priest, as is very obvious in our Gemara, he didn't believe in the Avodah Zarah. He only did it for the salary. And moreover, when people used to come to the Avodah Zarah, and they would want to bring different offerings to the Avodah Zarah, he would tell them, bring food. Why would he tell them bring food? Because the Avodah Zarah can't do anything anyway. The food that you'll bring, at least I'll have something to eat. So he belittled and he showed the people that the Avodah Zarah was meaningless. So even though perhaps he shouldn't have been a priest by Avodah Zarah, he did act in a very positive way of turning people away for being Avodah Zarah, and that's why he was Zoycha Tarichas Yom. Back to Masechet Bava Basra. So we learned in the Mishnah that children yashin the father. Furthermore, we learned in the Mishnah that if there are no sons, then the daughters come. So the Gemara, as the Rishonim explained, has two questions, essentially. One question is, how do we know that daughters yashin? And the second question is, how do we know that daughters only yashin if there are no sons? Menolam, except ish kiyomis, if somebody in Rechman Slam passes away, or ben enloi, he has no sons. Tama, what's the reason? The enloi ben. Because he has no sons. That's why his daughters inherit. Hayesh loi ben, if he, Baruch Hashem, has sons, ben kaidim, the son comes first. Amalei Rav Papa Labaya, ask Rav Papa Tobaya, who says that that's the way to understand the pasuk? Perhaps the way to understand the pasuk is as follows. Ema, iik ben, if there's a son, leiris ben, let the son yarshin. Iik bas, if there's a daughter, tiris bas, then let the daughter yarshin. Iik ben ubas, if somebody leaves over both a son and a daughter, lehi liris, lehi liris, neither of them should yarshin. Ask the one, how do we understand this? Neither of them should yarshin, el man, leiris. If not the son, nor the daughter should yashin, who should yashin? Answers the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Ot Bakash, the Masaleris, suggests the government take his estate because he has both sons and daughters. As the Mefarshim explained, just like the government has no place to be his Yerush because he, Baruch Hashem, left over children, the children should yashin. And like the Ritva goes on to explain, we can't claim that this is Hefker. Why should it be Hefker? He had children. Says the Gemara, Hachi Kamina. This is what he meant to ask. Ikka ben abas, if the person left a son and a daughter, perhaps, loy hai liris kule, not the son should yashin everything, loy hai liris kule, nor neither should the daughter yashin everything, el kadadi lirsa. They should yashin together. Amalei Abaya asks Abaya for a pop of Yisrach Kro Lishminen. Do we need a pasuk to tell us? Let's say the first would have only left one son.
Obviously, if he has one son, the son takes everything. He has only daughter. The daughter takes everything. Says the Gemara, V'dilma ha'kamashmalan. The bas nami bas yirushihi.
And the way the Rashbam explains the Gemara is as follows. The Pyra says, as I quoted earlier, Kiyomis ish uben einloi. Why does the Torah use the words uben einloi? The Torah should use the words v'zera einloi. What's the Torah teaching us by uben einloi? The daughter is equal to the son. Maybe the Torah is teaching us that the daughter is equal. Ahu, says the Gemara, mikol bas yireshes nafka. That a daughter is a yarish, we know. What is the pasuk teaching us with ben einloi? The pasuk is teaching us that even though the daughter is a yarish, she's only a yarish if there are sons, if there are no sons. But if there are sons, the sons come first. And I saw a beautiful pshat from the Tzofnus Pneach, from the Rashbam, to explain, here our Gemara, the pasuk, that's not the Gemara, clearly indicates that a daughter is a yarish. And now we're saying, but if there's sons, the sons come first. How do we understand it? Says the Tzofnus Pneach Pshat. Says there are really two elements involved in a Yerusha. One is that a person leaves the world, but he left over money. And that money has to be dealt with. So who are the ones that are most, who come first to receive that money, those assets? The children. But there's another element to Yerusha. The element of Yerusha is that the children are an extension of the person who left the world. A son has the ability and the capability on a much greater scale of being an extension of his father than a daughter. So that's what Pshat in the Torah is. As far as Hilchus Yerusha, as far as the dinim of dividing the states, son and daughters are the estate, the son and daughter are the same. But why does the son come before the daughter? Because the son also has this added characteristic that he could be an extension of his father, and that's why he comes first. Rav Achva Yaakov Amar Mahacha. Rav Achva Yaakov says, from here we see that a son comes before a daughter, because remember the story of the Benoit Solovkot, whose father passed away, and they came to Moshe Rabbeinu with a question, what will be with the shear that he's entitled to an Eretz Yisrael? And they said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Lama Yigara Shem Avinu Mimishtach Mishpachtoi? Why should our father's name be hurt? Kein Loi Ben. So what were they saying? That why were they arguing that they have a claim to Yerusha? Tam Dein Loi Ben. Because our father left over no children. Hayesh Loi Ben. No sons. But they were agreeing that if the father had left over a son, Ben Kaidim. Then they wouldn't have any claim, because they recognize that the son comes first. So from here we see a son comes before the daughter. That's the raya. Says the Gemara, V'dilma, B'noit Salafchad, Hu D'Karmin Hachi. Says the Gemara, that's not a raya. Maybe B'noit Salafchad were making this argument, but they weren't necessarily correct. It was only later, the Torah of Niskacha Halacha, where the Torah tells us that indeed that is the din, that the sons and daughters are both Yorshim, but the sons come before the daughters. So I saw the Mefarshim explain, what was the Havamina? Just because the Benoit Salaf could make that argument, who says they're right? So Mefarshim say, if we look in the parasha of the Benoit Salaf, the pasuk used the words, Kain Benoit Salaf Divers. They speak with Seichel. They're speaking intelligently. That's why Rav Acha assumed that what they were saying was correct, and that indeed from them we have a raya that sons come before daughters. The Gemara says it's not necessarily a raya. El Machvarta, what is the raya that we said at the beginning? Kishnina Minkara. Ravin Amar Mehocha. The pasuk says, Hakarv Elov. We quoted this pasuk in our previous year, and the pasuk means Hakarv Karv Kaidim. When we speak about a line of succession, the closer the relative, he goes first. Ask the Gemara. And therefore the son comes before the daughter. Ask the Gemara, my curve of the ben bibas, why is the son considered a closer relative than a daughter? So says the Gemara, so came kom tachas aviv liyado. We spoke about in the previous shir that if a person buys an amma of Ria, and then he chooses to marry her, even though as we learned in Masech the Kedushin, you have to give kesef, you have to give money to do to affect the Kedushin, A person who bought an amavriya does not have to give new money to affect the kedushin. Rather, the kesef that he used, the money that he used to buy her, can be the kesef kedushin. That's called yiyud. And the same din, as we spoke about previous year, applies to the person's son. So you see that the son has a very strong relationship. And furthermore, l'stei achuza. The halacha is that if somebody is magdish, a field that he has as an inheritance in Eretz Yisrael, so the halacha is as follows. If he redeems it, it comes back to being his, and even Yovel comes, he keeps it. If, on the other hand, the same din applies, if his son redeems it, it doesn't go to any, it stays in the family by Yovel. Whereas if anybody else redeems it, it goes to the Kahanim by Yovel. That is a din unique to a son. Again, a proof of the special relationship that exists between a father and a son. Says, well, how's the Saraya? There's no raya that the son can do yid and the daughter can't. That's why the son is closer. A daughter can't marry, a woman can't marry a woman. Not because she's specifically closer. As we said previously, how taka do we know the halacha is by stei achuza, that the din is just like if somebody himself was magdish the field, and then he's paid it, he redeems it, he keeps it forever. How do we know that that din applies to a son also? We said because just like the son creates a situation, that if there is a son, Baruch Hashem, the husband, the father's wife doesn't have to have Yibum, so says the same thing would perhaps be by a daughter. A daughter also, as we spoke about it the previous year, if somebody leaves over a daughter, then the husband, then the father's wife is not a candidate for Yibum. So perhaps, just like if a son is poided to stay a chuzah, it doesn't leave the family by Yovel, maybe the same as by a daughter. Stay a chuzah nami, mehai percha gufihi, the kaimlan tana, as we explain, klum yesh Yibum, what makes the son have the special relationship with the father? Because there's no Yibum of makashem ben, the same as by a bas. So again, this cannot be the raya that the son is closer to the father than the daughter. And that's why the son comes before the father, before the daughter. The pasuk says, about Yerusha, it's talking about Avadim, that Avadim go on, and the pasuk says, ask the Gemara, is that the way to understand when the Torah uses the word b'neichem, it means b'neichem v'loy b'neiseichem? And l'ma'ata, a pasuk that we say three times a day, l'man yibu yumeichem, mei v'neichem, does it mean haknam b'neichem v'loy b'neiseichem? So just because the Torah uses the word b'neichem, doesn't mean necessarily that it's excluding b'neiseichem. Answer the Gemara Baruch Hashani. You can't use the pasuk of l'man yibu yumeichem to be a raya that just because the Torah uses b'neichem, it doesn't mean to exclude b'neiseichem. Why? Pas pshat is because that pasuk is giving us a bracha. That we'll have a riches yom. When a Kaddish Baruch Hu gives a bracha, ain't bracha lachtzoyim. The pasuk, a Kaddish Baruch Hu gives a bracha generously. And certainly he doesn't limit the bracha only to b'neichem, not to b'neiseichem, only to male children, not female children. So yes, when the Torah uses the word l'man yibu yumeichem v'mei b'neichem, it means both boys and girls. Because it's a bracha. But the pasuk v'snachaltem oysam l'b'neichem is not a bracha. There we could say b'neichem v'loi b'neiseichem. That's one pshat. Another pshat is l'man yibu yumeichem v'mei b'neichem is going on the mitzvah mezuzah. That if somebody fulfills the mitzvah mezuzah, he'll be zoich l'man yibu yumeichem v'mei b'neichem. As the Gemara teaches us in Masechet Menachos and in other places, that it's not only men who have to have mezuzahs on the doors of their home, women also. So the bracha, obviously, is going to women. Because if the bracha is a bracha for fulfilling the mitzvah mezuzah, why should women not get the bracha if they fulfill the mitzvah? But we don't have that concept, and that's why the Gemara legitimately learns, continues the Gemara, brothers who are paternal brothers are yarshim. As we learned in our previous shiurim, the order goes as follows. Son, daughter, father, paternal brothers. Manola, How do we know that paternal brothers are the Yarshim? Amarava, Asya Achva Achva B'nai Yaakov. The Torah calls all of the Shvatim brothers. Now, they were only paternal brothers. They didn't have the same mother. Yaakov Avinu had five wives. Mala Hala Mena Av V'loi Mena Eim. Av Kan Mena Av V'loi Mena Eim. Ask the Gemara, V'lomali, what do we have to learn from Yaakov Avinu, from the Shvatim? The Pasuk says, Mishpachto V'yorish Oysa Ksiv. And from there we learn, Mishpachas Av Krui Mishpacha. Mishpachtoi, only your paternal family is considered family. Mishpachas Eim Enekri Mishpacha. Maternal family is not Mishpacha. Says the Gemara Enechanami. Right. The real source to learn that we only follow paternal brothers, not maternal brothers, is from the word Mishpachtoi. So if so, what do we need the limit from Yaakov Avinu? The Chiyat Med Rabba. The limit from the Shvatim is for different than altogether. Linyan Yibum Itmar. That as we've been learning, that if somebody, Rechman Tzlan, dies without children, his wife is a candidate for Yibam, and we'll learn from the brothers of Yaakov which brothers of the Nifter have to do Yibam. Only paternal brothers, not maternal brothers.